From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and good Tuesday to you. This is Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, weather warfare with Jerry Smith. I'm telling you, the weather's all over. Number of tornadoes all over the South today. 15, at least. We'll talk about that with Jerry next hour. Super Tuesday. It was here. It is now gone. Hillary Clinton is still in a battle with Barack Obama, though the momentum today seemed to go Clinton's way. It's still going to be a long fight for both of them. And John McCain, of course, slowly inching his way away from Mitt Romney, pulling away ever so slowly. This has got all the makings, in my opinion, of another third-party candidate popping in, and probably sooner than later. That's just my guess. Consumers should expect a deep recession triggered by the stealth method by the Federal Reserve to depress the market even when lowering interest rates in an effort to stimulate economic growth, this according to an economic analyst. Dr. Jerome Corsi's been following this incredible story on WorldNet Daily, where some are beginning to predict that the Fed will help push the Dow down from around 12,000 plus to 8,000. Jerry Corsi on the line with us. Jerry, tell me about this one.
Well, George, it's an interesting story from an analyst, Mike Bolser, who really follows the interventions, you know, looks at the economy as manipulated, where the Federal Reserve is manipulating the Dow downward. And the argument that Mike Bolser makes is that if you follow these repo agreements, repurchase agreements, and very few people know about them, but there's, you know, over $150 billion out in repurchase agreements that the Federal Reserve gives to some 20 select banks to go into the market and make, you know, bets on futures contracts, either up or down, the way the Fed wants it. And Bolser has followed this and tracked it. And as the amount of the money let out in the repo agreements decreases, which it's doing right now, the stock market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, is tracked down. And the statistical analysis here is very clear. So as the Federal Reserve behind the scenes manipulates how much money they allow these select 20 banks to reinvest on repurchase agreements, they lend out securities from the Fed, and they say they take them back in 20 days or a few days. And in the meantime, they instruct the banks to go out and buy futures contracts, either up or down, depending upon whether the Fed wants to depress or boost up the stock market. And I wrote the article today in WorldNet Daily, and today the stock market lost 370 points.
Yeah, it was a big drop.
Big drop. And the prediction that Bolser made is that this week, even though, you know, last week we saw the Federal Reserve drop rates 125 basis points, 1.25%. Well, you think that would stimulate the markets. And what Bolser's saying is if you look at the manipulation that's going on, these huge quantities of repurchase agreements, the Fed is kind of like misdirection. They want everybody to think they're stimulating the economy. But really, the Fed is trying to induce a recession in order to, you know, we'd have hyperinflation, perhaps. Look at where the price of energy and food are. If the Fed weren't engineering the economy and the Dow downward, the concern is we'd be now in hyperinflation. So what Bolser, I think the genius of what he did was show the manipulation of the Federal Reserve, of the stock market, by these largely unseen and very technical repurchase agreements that's given out to a list of only 20 primary securities banks that are on the approved list. And most Americans, in fact, most professionals in Wall Street, know nothing about this repurchase agreement market. But yet I think Bolser's right. It does determine the direction the Dow is going to go.
That's pretty astute on his part. Hey, Jerry, any surprises for you on Super Tuesday?
Well, I think, George, and great question. I think your introduction was exactly right. I think Hillary Clinton, especially if she carries California, is going to go a long way to getting the nomination. And Obama's made a tremendous challenge. It's very impressive how he's come from almost nowhere early on to challenge Hillary Clinton, of course, who was first lady under Bill Clinton, and everybody knows. But I think if she wins both New York, New Jersey, and now California, Hillary Clinton's well along the way. I think the case is less likely to be settled tonight for John McCain. We see Romney picking up various states. Even Huckabee picked up some. And I've been on the radio today. You know, the conservative talk radio is just a buzz in opposition to John McCain. I mean, Limbaugh was, you know, railing against McCain for, you know, supporting Ted Kennedy with the comprehensive immigration reform, the Kennedy Feingold reforms on campaign funding, McCain not supporting George W. Bush in the tax cuts, McCain possibly even being the vice presidential candidate for John Kerry in 2004. I mean, John McCain, if he does get the nomination, is not going to have the support of the conservative base of the Republican Party. But, George, I continue to think that this coming election, 2008, is the Democrats to lose. I wrote an article that 1.5 million manufacturing jobs have been lost under George W. Bush to globalism, outsourcing under George W. Bush. The 24 states voting today on Super Tuesday, 1 million of those jobs lost to China. The economic downturn we're headed into, I think it's going to be very difficult for the Republicans to overcome, no matter who their candidate is. And I think the disaffection in the United States right now with George Bush on any number of issues, spending, the Iraq war, you name it, I think this coming election is the Democrats to lose. They're capable of losing it. But right now, I think if John McCain is the nominee of the Republican Party, the Republican base is just basically going to sit it out. The conservatives do not support John McCain.
See, I see a third party. What do you think?
Well, your comments on that, George, as usual, right on. And, you know, Ron Paul, I think, has raised $20 million and has not finished yet. And Mayor Bloomberg, who is independently wealthy, of course, who knows what he's going to do. I like to remind people, George, you know, before we vote, we've got to go through an entire baseball season. That's 100 and how many games?
162 games.
And a world, you know, playoffs and a World Series. Yep. You know, we're not even into spring training yet. Between now and when we vote, a lot of things can happen. And this election can look very different than it does today. It's not over because this is Super Tuesday. Hillary may have an advantage. Obama's not done. And John McCain may be gaining. But the Republican Party, especially with the conservative base, is still in disarray.
I like your insight, Jerry. Thanks for the updates, and we're going to watch the stock market, my friend.
Always a great pleasure and honor to be with you. Thank you, George.
Jerry Corsi, his most recent book, The Late Great USA. Actor Barry Morse, who played a detective pursuing the wrongly accused Dr. Richard Kimball in the 1960s television series The Fugitive, has died. He was 89 years old, born in London in 1918. Morris trained at London's Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts and appeared in British repertory and West End theaters before going to Canada in 1951. He loved the part he played of Lieutenant Philip Gerard on The Fugitive. The series ran for 120 episodes over four seasons. Restraining order against the man who's been at Britney Spears' side during her downward spiral alleges that he drugged her, took over her finances, and controlled the paparazzi like a general. The order was against Sam Lufty, was based on a lengthy declaration from Spears' mother, Lynn, who says that Spears met the 33-year-old in October of 2007, and essentially, he moved into Britney's home and took control of her life. The power of prayer is all it takes to relax with a drink at a newly opened Croatian cafe. Customers at the Jedro coffee shop in Zagreb are asked to say a certain number of prayers in return for their drinks. The most expensive beverage is Coca-Cola, which costs 5 Hail Marys. A cappuccino costs 4 Our Fathers. NASA space shuttle Atlantis ready for a Thursday space shot. Atlantis slated to launch the 7 astronaut crew at 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time. A British firm claims to have designed a hypersonic passenger plane that could one day fly between Europe and Australia in less than 5 hours. Unfortunately, they say it'll take 25 years to perfect. Sci-Fi coming up with an incredible new series, UFO Hunters. We're going to talk with two of the principals of that new show in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. You know, we cover incredible UFO stories here on this program, and now the Sci-Fi Television Network, they're about ready to embark on something fascinating as well. I want to introduce you to a couple principals of a brand new television program called UFO Hunters. You know, Sci-Fi has Ghost Hunters. Now we've got UFO Hunters. Oliver Von Kaminsky is the founder of the New York Strange Phenomena Investigators up there in New York, of course, a scientific research group dedicated to the investigation of UFO sightings, UFO abduction reports, and extraordinary occurrences. Here's Oliver. Hey, Oliver, how are you?
Hello, George. How are you? An honor
Good.
To be here.
My pleasure. And Ted Davis, been interested in UFOs for as long as he can remember, and he is also a part of the Sci-Fi's new UFO Hunters. Ted has been a friend of Bud Hopkins and the Intruders Foundation for a number of years. In 2006, he and Oliver branched out, forming their own research group, the one I just mentioned. Hey, Ted Davis, how are you?
I'm doing great, George. Thanks for having
me. Good, good. Both of you, tell me a little bit about the TV show. Oliver, go ahead, start.
Well, the TV show is basically a franchise of the Hunters, Sci-Fi Hunters series, and they're looking to do something similar as they are doing with Ghost Hunters with UFOs, basically looking to chase down and investigate UFOs from a scientific perspective.
And, Ted, what will the role be for you, for Oliver?
Well, we are the lead investigators. We're the founders of NiSpy. And so we are coordinating the investigations and organizing the team and directing it out into the field to do the investigations.
What kind of cases are you going to investigate, Ted?
We're going to cover everything within the realm of UFOs. So it's going to be a little bit of abductions, a little bit of daytime sightings, nighttime sightings, you name it. We'd love to go out to some hot spots and set up cameras and see if we can catch activity, as well as going into reported sightings after the fact and trying to piece it together and see if we can find any hard evidence.
Are you going to be able to go all over the country, Oliver?
Well, we're hoping we can. At this point, our show is just a pilot, and we're hoping that we'll be ordered into a series or at least a few more shows. But I guess our intentions are to go after the cases that have the greatest amount of evidence, those that have video footage, those that have a lot of photographs, multiple witnesses, possible physical evidence cases. And that's kind of how we opened up with our show that is airing tomorrow night.
All right. What time will it be on?
It will be on the Sci-Fi Network at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 Central.
Are you happy with the first show?
Yeah, we were very, very happy with the show. I have to say I can't give enough accolades to Pilgrim Films and Television. They're the same people that do Ghost Hunters. They were very, very patient and listened to us and took the time to understand what we were telling them, why UFO hunting is a lot different than ghost hunting. Whereas with ghosts, you would more or less would set up a camera in a place that is haunted and you would investigate a case hoping to get something on camera. With UFO cases, you're more or less going to investigate a case after the fact, and you're collecting evidence as one would in a criminal investigation, finding small pieces of evidence, talking to witnesses, gathering video, putting the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together to prove the case.
And, you know, after you begin to talk to some of these witnesses, people who are not in the know in terms of UFO research, they've got to come away from these interviews shaking their head going, you know, these people are normal people. They're not liars. They're not trying to gain anything. They're telling us what they really saw. It's got to be pretty remarkable for the so-called skeptics, don't you think?
Well, as long as you have an open mind and you're not a true believer that things don't exist, then yeah, I you know, Ted and I are constantly floored by the things that we see out there that so many people repeat the exact same stories that describe the exact same patterns of behaviors and so forth.
Hey, do you two have any special or favorite UFO case?
Well, I think we'd probably have to say one of the cases that's on the pilot episode. which is an abduction case rolled into the Carteret UFO sightings back from 2001. We went and looked into that case again because we uncovered some new witnesses, one of which was John Bredevin, who reported that he had been abducted into an object in and around that case. So it was very interesting, and we spent a lot of time in the pilot episode looking into it.
Is this a one-hour show?
It is a one-hour show, and there's actually two separate episodes in that one-hour show.
And they move very quickly, don't they, Oliver?
They sure do. You know, there's a lot of evidence in the case that the production company filmed with us, and, you know, they have their limitations. They have to keep it entertaining. And, you know, quite frankly, there's a lot of evidence that we gave them that got caught on the editing room floor, which we would love at some point for them to release. But at this point, the show itself, we were very, very happy with the final product.
Was there much talk at all, you two, about this most recent case in Texas?
Yeah, we would love to get a chance to investigate that as well. We've been pretty busy trying to get this show off the ground and advise people about it as well, but that would be one of our first avenues of pursuit if we got the nod from Sci-Fi to go out and investigate it.
We got to get you up there on the West Coast. You got to go up to Washington to Jim Gilliland's place, where apparently at willy-nilly, he'll go outside and see UFOs all over the place. I'm going to go up sometime this year as well.
Well, those are actually cases that we'd also love to track down. Cases where there's photographic evidence, you know, almost weekly or monthly, people seem to always capture things on their cameras. You know, nowadays people have so many cameras, and there's cameras on their cell phones, and people always have the ability to take photos, or almost always. So that's why you're getting more and more visual reports these days. If you can take a case where they're always repeating these same sightings in the same locations, that would be a prime opportunity to actually do hunting as opposed to collecting the data that has occurred.
You know, Grant and Jason from Ghost Hunters, you know, their background is in plumbing. You're UFO hunters. What's your background?
Well, my background is more in the mental health professional field. I have a master's in psychology and a master's in social work. So pretty rounded experience in the mental health field.
How about you, Oliver?
I'm an engineer by education and technical engineering by profession as well. I come from things at a very scientific perspective. I like to see a lot of the details and the data behind what people say they've seen.
Are you two going to attempt to get some government whistleblowers eventually if this series continues to spill their guts?
That's actually kind of funny that you ask. Our opening show with the John Bredevin case, the Carteret case, there was actually some whistleblowing as far as governmental acknowledgement goes in that show. Originally, that was a huge sighting that occurred in Carteret, New Jersey in 2001. It was witnessed by many, many people. And at the time, the FAA and all the local airports and the military installations in the area, high traffic area near Newark Airport, had reported nothing unusual, nothing strange, nothing on the radar. Yet, we were able to uncover with time through Dennis Anderson, one of our team members, his efforts, together with NIDS, where we were able to uncover actual radar evidence that was leaked out. So,
are you believers?
In that particular report that we gathered, yes.
And how about overall in general, Ted?
I wouldn't say believers. We're driven by the evidence, and the evidence has compelled us to believe that there's something more than just the mundane out there. We wouldn't be doing this if we didn't feel there was something more going on than hoaxes and misidentifications and that sort of thing.
Well, and I'm glad the Sci-Fi Network's devoting some time to this because, you know, we need disclosure, and we need more and more coverage of these cases. You know, not only across this country, but worldwide as well. And maybe one day we'll all really get the answers we've all been trying to find.
Yeah, we have been doing this voluntarily for years and years, and for the past 10 years we've been working with, you know, the great Bud Hopkins and his research group, and now it's just been a passion that we've pursued. You know, we don't get paid for this. We've basically just did it out of our own interests and the intention of getting the science out there to be more accepted by mainstream science.
Absolutely. Well, good luck to both of you. The programs on the Sci-Fi Television Network on Wednesday. Just consult your local directory there and get the specific time and have a watch. Should be a great program. I'll be back in a moment with Open Lines. Here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, starting Wednesday, running through Sunday, a free StreamLink week for you, so take advantage of it. Just go up to the coasttocoastam.com website and read all about it. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Open lines for you for this hour. Then we talk about weather warfare. Let's go to our international line. Where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hi, George. It's hey. It's me from Sudbury.
Hey, me? Is that your real name? Me?
It's me, yeah. I've been trying.
You may be the only one who finally says, "Is it me?" Laugh. And you're right.
Whenever people call in, they go, "Is it me? Is it me?"
Exactly.
I hear that, and I just can't believe it. And I just get a big chuckle each and every time because that's my name, M-I-E.
That's funny.
You have a great night, George.
That's it?
Yep. I said to your producer, I'll make it quick.
Okay, great. Let's go next to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, this is Rich from Phoenix. I just got a crazy question for you here.
Okay, Rich.
About the UFO Hunters program. It sounds like there's another one, almost exact same name, but on another channel. I don't want to mention the other channel, but I'm just curious if it's the same one or are they the two networks like connected with each other?
No, they're two different. I think there's a similar one on the History Channel.
Yeah, that's correct, and it's very good. That's what I was asking about, but it sounds like it's got the same name.
I love these programs, don't you?
I sure do, and I'm glad when you come on them.
Yeah, I pop on every once in a while. I was on Larry King's. I've been on the one on the History Channel. You know, so if these folks invite me on as a guest, I'll come on too.
Oh, cool. Well, keep up the good work, and I'll listen off there.
Okay, sure thing. Let's move next to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Oh, this is Scott. Hi, George.
Hey, Scott. You are, if I recall, in Sacramento.
Sacramento, you're right.
Wow, what a memory, huh?
Yeah, you got a good memory. Anyway, two subjects. First, I wanted to really commend you on your subject matter. I really like the stuff you do for, cryptozoology and UFO talk. I mean, those are my two favorite subjects. I'm just glued to the radio. And the other thing is, the other night Condor was on, and I thought he was just great. He's very believable. Everything he says, he either thinks he can back it up or, you know, he thinks that his sources are really good. And some of them, I guess he's verified. So, he's really great to listen to. And but no one asked him about what he thought of John Lear's theory. John Lear has this theory that I think you've heard it. And George, Art has played it where apparently he thinks there's some sort of machine on the moon that
stores souls
and feeds them into the humans when they're born or something. And, you know, it sounds so outlandish. And I wondered if you had talked to him about it or somebody would otherwise when he comes back on next time. Because, I just wondered what his theory is, because Condor seems like he's really dialed in. And I think, he's really attuned to things. So if there was something like that, he would know about it. And my other subject is, I thought we were going to get more out of that Chicago O'Hare issue. I thought there was supposed to be some film coming, or Dan Aykroyd had some stuff that he was going to show that he had bought or something. And I was just wondering, what's the latest on that? Are we going to get some more?
Aykroyd and David Sarita have put it together on a DVD program. It's out there in the public. But really all it shows is the donut hole through the clouds.
Where it went.
Yep. It just something bust through there.
All right.
Who knows what it was?
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much. And then next time, maybe Condor could field that question about John Lear's theories, because it sounds really outlandish to me. And if there's anything to it, I think Condor would know, don't you?
Okay, yeah, he just might, Scott. He was a pretty interesting guy. Speaking of birds, you know, when I was in St. Louis, my show was the Nighthawk Show, but it wasn't a bird. It was based on a plane. But I saw land next to me today, a hawk. This thing was huge. But I got to tell you, it is one of the prettiest birds I've ever seen. I mean, this thing had so much elegance to it and splendor. It was just incredible. But it just popped up, sat on a pole, looked around a little bit, and off he went. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to our East of the Rockies line. Hi there. Hello. Are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh, yeah. I want to know if George ever had ghost hunters on.
George has had ghost hunters on. Jason and Scott. And Grant and Jason.
Jason and Grant, yeah.
What, do you like the show?
Yeah, I must have missed that show. I didn't know if they
It was a long time ago, probably 2 years ago.
Oh, was that long ago? Do you think they ever have him on again? I think it'd make a good show.
Well, he might. What do you think? Should we tell George about it?
Yeah, I'd like to hear that show.
All right.
Followed the TV show, and I'd like to hear it on the radio.
All right. Do you listen to the Coast to Coast a lot?
I try to a couple times a week.
What do you think of George, just between you and me?
I like George.
Do you? Well, let's not tell him, though, you know? All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I'm calling from Houston. My name is Ali.
Hello, Ali. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, George, did they ever find out about the date of 2012, what is supposed to happen?
Oh, Ali, there are so many different theories about 2012. I mean, they run the gamut from celestial events to enlightenment events to nothing to some earth change, some shattering earth change, a polar shift, an asteroid hitting us. There's so many theories out there. Nobody really knows for sure. We've all got our thoughts, but nobody knows for sure.
Yeah, but also I was talking to one of my friends, and he read some data from back from 1986-87, and he said something about the calendar. I don't know if you ever heard about this, about the Mayan calendar 2012. And there was supposed to be some sun
solar flares.
Not solar flares, but said they're supposed to go black like 2 or 3 days.
Really? No, I haven't heard that one, Ali.
Yeah, but this guy, he's a Austrian, you know, and he's an engineer, you know, and he speaks pretty good English, and he comes out, and he comes in a chemical plant engineer.
Okay, well, send me an email on him, Ali, if you can. We'll track him down. Like I said, there's so many theories out there. Next up, Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hello there. Good morning.
Good morning, George. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I've been listening to your show for a couple of years, but the one thing I really wanted to compliment you on, I know a lot of people compliment you, but I'd like to say you're one of the very few talk show hosts that actually let their guests finish a sentence without interrupting them, and it's really refreshing to listen to somebody actually give their guests time to speak.
I got an email a couple days ago from someone who said, quit interrupting your guests, and I'm reading this thing going, no, I think he sent it to the wrong person. I don't know who he wants to send it to, but it's not me.
Maybe Alan Combs. he's good at interrupting it. One thing I wanted to bring up, and then I don't want to sound like a conspiracy nut or anything, but you were talking a while back about some kind of a doomsday order that the Bush administration could use in case of a time of a something drastic happening.
Yeah, Corsi and Sean David Morton have been talking about that, two of our guests.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, but I was just thinking that I to take it one step further, and I truly believe that over the next year, even though the election's going on, and, you know, it's a long way to November, and I still believe that if he wanted to take power in the United States, he could very well easily do it by, let's say, the stock market collapses, and we have a real something like that. It wouldn't be any, you know, I don't think he wouldn't hesitate a bit for him and Cheney to just come up with that executive order and say, you know, this is the time I'm going to have to take control of the country, you know.
Well, I got to tell you, Bob, the executive order's been signed, and if there is any kind of a calamity at all, I mean, it is so wide-ranging in terms of the events that would trigger the ability to do that. Just about anything could. I mean, an epidemic of some disease, you name it.
Right.
Any person at this point now who is a standing president could keep himself in office for the foreseeable future if he or she so elects to do that. That's kind of scary.
Yeah. Well, I hope that doesn't happen, and I hope our next president will defend the Constitution instead of trying to tear the Constitution apart.
Well,
thank you, George.
Then we cut you off right at the end. How about that? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George. Thank you so much for your programs. They're so interesting. I never was a late night person until the last couple of years when I started listening to you.
So we've changed your life pattern, huh?
You have. It's kind of tough, but anyway. And I hate it when I fall asleep when I'm really trying to listen. But anyway, I'm calling because of all of the programs, of course, that you have on about UFOs. But sometime last year, you had someone on from SETI. And it just kind of made me feel schizophrenic, because here we are having all of these sightings, and everyone, now they've got the UFO hunters. Why hasn't SETI reported anything, or have they? Did I miss something?
No. You're probably talking about Seth Shostak, who comes on the program. He's the spokesperson for SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. That organization, and I think, you know, they're doing a great job. It's kind of fun to think of, you know, beaming signals in the space and listening for signals, but they do not believe that we have been visited by beings from outer space. They believe that they're out there. That's why they're listening, but they don't say that they've come here. They just don't believe it. And Seth, who's an astronomer and a pretty good one, just feels, along with other members of the organization, that the ETs have just never been here.
But what are they doing about the evidence that these gentlemen you were talking to tonight are talking about?
Well, the evidence is abound. I mean, unfortunately, we've got little tiny pieces of what people would say, show me the hard evidence, you know, little trinkets of metal and things like that. But we need to see, and we may very well have somewhere in Area 51, for example, but we need to get the hard evidence, the craft. And the public needs to see this, I think, in order for this entire planet to wake up again. I believe we've been visited. I think we've been genetically altered myself. I think we were helped. I believe in God, but I think whoever came here, you know, kind of jump-started us a little bit.
Well, I just thought it was funny that SETI never picked anything up. But
no, not yet.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Let's go next to East of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
This is Rick from Galveston, Texas.
Hey, Rick. How are you? I was just in Austin about a week or so ago.
Oh, and I heard you had a fall in the mud hole.
Oh, man. I went down into this hole, and apparently somebody's got it on videotape, and they're trying to extort me now, or they're going to put it on YouTube.
You know, I'm the bicycle evangelist guy that I talked to you before.
Yeah.
But the reason I was calling is, did you see I saw here on the Channel 13 here in Houston News that they showed that Iran had launched a missile out of Iran into outer space today.
They did that actually yesterday. It's called the OMID. It's the OMID rocket. They have now become the 11th nation in the world to be able to launch something into space. So they're coming along pretty quickly.
Yeah, and it's kind of strange, you know. It's not really strange, you know, with them trying to. Well, they say they're not trying to build nuclear weapons, but now they're getting their rocket technology, and you know, so we don't know where it's going, but you know, just only God, you know, well, like you say, we all there's a higher power, but he knows. But I don't know. It's just I guess it's hard to say where it's going to end up. But I saw right though, you know, just. But, you know, but they're building something, and so I guess we're just going to have to just hope that this new administration that comes in, they can they would be able to deal with it in a political manner that that.
My guess, Ricky, mm-hmm. my guess is that it's going to be dealt with before the election even occurs.
Okay.
One way or another.
Well, Mr. No, President Bush said, you know, they're not going to have nuclear weapons on my watch. And so we're hoping, no, we're just hoping nothing bad happens. But, you know, so, oh, and I haven't seen no more demons in a while.
Well, good. You've been cleansed.
Well, you said you hoped there was nothing in my house because of that when that girl was here. No, but because, well, I got a call in there, which I can pretty much defend myself from them. And so I know that. With all the well, Galveston is a bad place actually for demons and stuff because of all the drugs that went on here in Galveston for quite a while. But it's getting better here now. It's getting a lot better. I see where it's getting a lot more better, and the drugs isn't as bad as in Galveston as it used to be. So it's getting a lot better.
So the demons are moving on, Ricky.
Well, you know, the bottom. Well, when I look at it, Satan knows his time is. Getting drawn to a near end, and you know he's putting as many as he can on. You know we don't know what's really happening. I just know that hey, you know what, we have to stay in faith and keep fighting and believing that hey, good's gonna win. That's it. Good's gonna win.
Well, you know I agree with you. Good is gonna win eventually, but it's gonna be a battle. And believe me, before someone like Satan throws in the towel. He's going to fight it for all he can. Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Greg from Columbia, Missouri.
Hey, Greg. How are you?
Fine. I just had a little request. I know it's a little a ways from now, but on April 3rd, it'd be the anniversary of the late Terrence McKenna. And I was kind of hoping that you would maybe have his brother Dennis on or play an older show of his. Just I thought that would be a nice kind of tribute to him, and also with all the UFO talk, I thought that he brought a really unique perspective to the whole UFO phenomenon that really doesn't get addressed much. And if he could maybe apply that to some of your show, I think that'd be great. And that's pretty much it.
Okay, April 3rd, it's coming up.
Yeah, thanks.
Coming up. Okay, I'll talk with the producers about that. First time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. My name is Jose. I'm calling
from Cleveland. Jose. Yes, sir.
I got a question, though. How or what can produce a space-time disturbance?
What could produce it if it can be produced? It could be just anything. Electrical charges. Maybe there's been a machine that's been created that can create that kind of a portal, some kind of electromagnetic pulse. I really don't know. I don't know if we've got the ability to do it or not. Why do you ask? That's an interesting question.
No, it's because it's one of those things. I was driving like 2 years ago, and it feels like in a shock wave. Just pretty much just everything kind of stops, but you feel it. And I was reading about it in the internet, and I couldn't find anything kind of defining it, but I was thinking, what can produce something like that? Just kind of in a stop in time, just for one moment. You know
we just had a guest on who may have gone through the Bermuda Triangle where a mist enveloped him. I think it was an electrostatic charged cloud, for example. That has a lot to do with it. And how it creates these portals, that's anybody's guess, Jose. It really is. Hey, if you need to email me, just send it my way. That's George at coasttocoastam.com. and fire away. Get ready in just a moment. We're going to talk about weather warfare with our special guest, Jerry Smith, right here on Coast to Coast AM.